Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that.
Hello, shoppers! Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. My name is Johnny Wright. I am your host for the next 59 minutes and 32 seconds and counting. Thank you for tuning in to the show dedicated to the idea that we have a right to be happy as shoppers, as employees, as managers, owners, you know what, as everyone. Yes, it's not just about customer service, it's about serving each other. I think sometimes people sort of get caught on that one. We're going to catch up with Peter Damos. He is a consultant to casinos and gaming establishments around the country. He will join us in this half hour. Also, what do you do when you want to be happy? You want to be a happy employee, but the man keeps you down, and then other things keep you down. We're going to talk about steps to get through that, because as I ask employees to be happy, I always ask them, you know, are you really happy? And if you're not, how do we get you there? And what's your journey, and where are you at? I'm going to give you some tips on that from a long, long time malcontent employee. All right, I've got some anecdotes to prove that, unfortunately, but I'll share those with you. Also, I want to read some reader feedback to the Prairie Meadows Secret Shopper Review, including from former and current employees. We'll get to that in this hour. Your weather forecast, it's a beaut. Sunshine, it's a pretty one. 76 today. Tonight, we drop down to 40. And then for Sunday, sunny and a high of 67. Monday, a 40% chance of rain and a high of 61. So we haven't seen rain really very much at all for quite a while. So it's kind of nice to get a little bit of rain. Typically September, October, dry months, and then Halloween, and then suddenly it becomes just pours, you know. Although kind of snow on Halloween is kind of, well, I don't know if it's fun. It's not safe, but it's fun. Currently it is 47 degrees. Hey, all about gambling today. Yes. Prairie Meadows, along with parimutuel betting, was pitched by civic leaders and legislators in 1983. If you remember back then, if you were more than a speck in your mommy and daddy's eye, Prairie Meadows was the solution. It was the way out of our emotional morass, out of our financial morass, where we were at in that time. We thought a good way to, you could keep people employed and you could infuse the area with money, and you build this racetrack, and there was this grandiose plans, and legislators signed off on it. And then by 1991, after Prairie Meadows had existed for a couple years, we realized that we were all wrong, that we'd been hoodwinked in many ways as Prairie Meadows went bankrupt. And it was sort of a real black eye. It wasn't sort of, it hurt. We thought, wow, you know, we thought this was a cool idea, but just not working out as everybody thought it might. But then track supporters had the last laugh. They bring in betting slot machines, table games in 1995 and 04. And that not only saved Prairie Meadows, but it launched the gaming industry in Iowa. Today it is booming. 17 casinos, tracks combined all over. You got people who, my Ford Dodge where I lived for 3 years, did radio up there. They tried over and over to, they've applied for it, haven't gotten, they have a pretty area up there along the river where they'd like to build one, but just had, and then some controversy, yeah, with the guy up there maybe slipping the gov a little jack to maybe get that thing going, and that doesn't look so good. So Ford Dodge, you know, that's a community, that's a different kind of cat up there, although I love it up there. So anyway, suffice it to say, there are a lot of places where you can go spend your money unwisely. Not only locally, but also, of course, online gambling. And then you've got, you know, the state said, hey, why should we let other private enterprises? Let's get involved. And so then we had Powerball, scratch games, and all those ways. And regardless of what you think of gambling, I'm not a proponent or opponent of it. It is what it is. It's here. That's not the point of any of this. The point is customer service. Does Prairie Meadows provide it? Do the employees, do they engage? Do they smile, greet, engage, and thank? Those are the pillars, four of them, of great customer service that I teach as part of my company called the Biosphere, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E. There's actually six of them. As students and trainees know, with companies that I work for, particularly Dolls, we're doing just tons of trading, and the trainees know it's smile, greet, engage, thank, follow up, and serve chocolate, would be number 6, which I have with me this morning. Yes, I've served myself chocolate. I've given myself great customer service. One man who knew customer service maybe better than any other, the late, great Walt Disney, who said two really, really smart things. In fact, he said a number of smart things. Quote, you can design and create and build the most wonderful place in the world, but it takes people to make the dream a reality, unquote. Yeah, you can build the edifice. You can build it as big and bright and shiny and flashy as you want to. You can fill it with pretty things to look at, and you can just anything you want to do, that's fine. But without people inside of it, it's just a big old barn. And those people have to engage. Those happy people inside have to bring it to life. We don't go to Prairie Meadows. I'll hear arguments about this. We don't go to Prairie Meadows or Walmart or Kmart or Target or any other retail big box. We don't go to buy stuff. That is my position. We don't go to buy stuff. That's the end game. But we go to see, meet, greet, engage. It is our socialization. Because the truth is, we can buy stuff online. Our butt cheeks never have to leave the couch. The truth. That's the truth. For most things, not most things, all things. You can sit at home and you can order every single thing you need to live, thrive, survive, and you can have it brought to you without ever leaving. But people, human interaction, kinesthetic, socialization, yeah. That, all right, and listen, save your arguments for, yeah, I can buy that. Stop! No, we got to go out and get it. We got to go out and feel. I believe that is why we get off the couch, we get in the car, and we drive to go shop. Now, having said that, brick and mortar, you're on life support without even knowing it. Brick and mortar is on life support. And there are so many brick and mortar stores that are going under of all categories, going bankrupt, going under. Banks, as we do more online banking, shopping centers going under, every name it, and they are succumbing to the idea that we can sit at home. Hey, listen, nobody's going to smile at me. Why should I go and be unsmiled at when I can be unsmiled at home? There's no reason for it. And so by not greeting and engaging and thanking and smiling, we run the risk of working ourselves out of jobs. And it not only risks our own, but it risks all brick and mortar jobs when we do that. Of course, the opposite is true. If we smile, greet, engage, and thank, we got a shot at keeping them going. All right. And I want to live in a world where I do get to see people and I get to shake their hand and talk with them and look at them eye to eye. I don't want to be walled off and texting and really in focused on my own little world. Me, me, me. Nah, it's no good. It's not why we're here. We're here to serve each other. That's my supposition. The Prairie Meadows Review. I secret shop Prairie Meadows as I do a business each week. I randomly select a business. I pick it. I say, okay, I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to go secret shop and I'm going to go in as a normal shopper would go in. And I'm going to observe how employees engage me, interact with me. And I'm going to go in a couple times so I get sort of a flavor. And I may go dress differently. I may dress up one time, dress down the other. And that's exactly what I did with Prairie Meadows on two different occasions. One on a Friday late afternoon, the second time on that subsequent Sunday right around lunchtime. And just to go through some of this, Mary Jane at the Gold Club booth didn't smile, didn't engage as I started out through. John on security detail looked away from me as I looked at him. This is typical reaction in retail. And it's not that we're bad people. It's that there's a deferential. When people look at us that we don't know, we tend to look away. There's an intensity to it. We don't know who that is. It could be a stranger. It could be somebody dangerous. They may be packing a fluffy pillow and they may beat us with it. Oh, look away. Look. Don't look at them. That's our reaction. Sure, we're freaked out. We're scared. We believe the news that it's all danger and evil and bad and bleed. It leads in the paper and the whole thing. So we buy into that, our psychology. But of course, they're just people like we are. We just look at them. Hey, smile at them. Look, they smiled back. Hey. Maybe they're not packing a fluffy pillow. Sure. So very typical at Prairie Meadows. I'm running into employees, security people. Masoa was talking to another employee as I walked past and ignored me. All right. Again, that's typical. Employees share their joy with each other. They know each other. They're friends. And then a customer comes into their basic vicinity and they either are ignored or also typical, the employee may turn and lose their smile, lose all that joy they were just sharing and say, can I help you? As if you've just interrupted them. Yeah, because that's not what they're getting paid for. That's not their responsibility to be at that place to be. You can talk with a friend, but boy, share that joy right back at the customer when you turn to them and engage them. And so Mary Lou, who sat behind a teller counter, ignored me and didn't greet me as I came forward, did flash a little bit of a smile, and then had a very strange reaction when I said, I don't know how to play table games. She rammed her head into the table in front of her, and I'm not lying. So probably not the best reaction there. Other people I engaged in that first trip through, Joe, was dealing a blackjack table, did not deal me a smile or a greeting and an invite to play. Daniel, same thing, non-response, ignored me as I very slowly walked past. Cynthia was yelling very unhappily things like, dollar crap check for Dwayne's bet at the table. And I didn't know what that meant, but it sounded, and the way she said it, I felt bad for Dwayne. I mean, I just felt that the guy needs, it sounds like he needs help, like a medic or something. We said it with such a frowny face. Anthony, standing right beside her, did not crack a smile. In fact, he looked down the entire time. And I just think, wow, you know, y'all look miserable, doggone. No reason to be there, right? And maybe you have reasons, but boy, as customers looking at employees, we're thinking, isn't this Iowa's favorite place to play? It certainly doesn't look like it's Iowa's favorite place to work. And that continued on with Keystone, who did not smile, looked away. She was at a table, Texas Hold'em table. David just walked past me, completely blew me off, an employee. And then Heidi. Heidi was the first employee out of 13 that I'd run into that first trip through, who just came up to me. I'm sitting at a slot machine. I'm doing my thing. She comes up and she says, look like I owe you 2 cents. And I thought, wow, I don't remember loaning anyone that, but okay, sure. It turns out that there was there were credits left at the slot machine that someone else had been there and left there. And apparently, Prairie Meadows, according to Heidi, takes all those leftover credits and gives them to gambling organizations that help treat people who have gambling addictions. Yeah, like I guess like 1-800-BETS-OFF. You know, I've often thought, what would the number be for like a sexual addiction clinic? Would that be 1-800? Anyway, I just had that thought this morning in the shower. I probably should have kept it by myself. Anyway, Anthony was running a card table, looked down and away as our eyes made brief contact. And so, that's typical, looking down and away. We have to do the opposite. We have to look at and hold the look and smile. Yeah, we're human beings. We're not going to hurt each other. It's all good from Diego to the Bay, you know. Third floor, I was greeted by a smile, finally. That was the horse on third, which is like this plastic replica of a horse. I don't think it's real. If it was, it certainly was just really very, it was very tired, if it was, but I don't think it was. And then, you know, I had a little bit more glad handling up there. Liz, working at the coffee dispenser nearby, didn't see me at first and said, anything I can get you? Closed-ended. We don't ask closed-ended questions in retail. It's always, what can I help get for you? What can I help you with? Yeah, nice open-ended, a more expansive answer is required. Shane, walked past me and said, can I help you? Yeah, again, I appreciate the engagement, but the right question is, what can I help you with? I went into the poker room where David greeted me with that clunky, same sort of, can I help you, closed-ended question. Remember, closed-ended requires a yes or no answer, and we want a nice, big, fat, what can I help you? Welcome to Prairie Meadows. What can we help you with today? We're here to help you and make you feel good, because it's all about feeling good. John was a security guy. But he was the first security dude I saw with a smile on his face. He was watching this very intense poker game, and he had just this little bitty grin. And I thought, you know what? There you go. Security people don't have to be frowny brownie, and they won't lose our respect. Yeah, we can all be smiling and greeting and engaging. Dennis, down on second, it kind of did the opposite, just ignored me, didn't smile, didn't greet, didn't engage. John at a snack bar came up behind me with a cart and said, excuse me, sir, and thank you, sir, and other glad handling, and Jennifer. And so Roxanne and Chris ignored me as I came past. And then Puang said a nice, how are you today, without me engaging her first, which was nice. Dennis, Teresa, Jack, again, ignored, no smiles. David, Floyd, the valet, looked down and away. Deborah, working in the gift shop, what can I help you find? Nice open-ended, and then didn't say thank you as I left. So again, some polish there is required. Esther, cashier, Deb, ignored me for 7 minutes while I sat at her counter. I stood at her counter as a teller, and I stood there for 7 minutes. I counted them. She never said boo to me, although she did say boo and then some to another employee behind her. How does that happen? How does that happen? How do we have our reality denied on that level as people? You can't stand 2 feet away from someone you don't know for 7 minutes without saying, hey, I just noticed you standing there. Hi. I mean, it's typical, right? It's standard human operating procedure, and yet somehow Deb didn't. As a paid employee of Prairie Meadows, pay to, in part, smile, greet, engage, and thank customers. Scott, coming out of the deli area, was in a bad mood, and he let me know it. And that's the bad part of when employees are feeling bad, they share the bad. We're going to get to that here in a minute. Carolyn, can I help you with something closed-ended? Gene, what can I do for you? Was a nice open-ended, but said it without a smile. Doesn't feel as authentic. Andrew and Steve and Solomon and Herbie and Ginger all blew me off, ignored me as I walked somewhere a distance around them and within eyeshot of them. They have looked at me and then looked away. Here's the final tally at your favorite place to die. Sorry, play. 50 encounters with employees. 50 employees I encountered with 2 visits to Prairie Meadows. 50. Number of smiles I saw from employees when I engaged them or they engaged me, 6. Okay, I'm not a betting man. I don't know what the over-under is on that, but yeah, that's under what I would think you'd want to be over on. Number of greetings, 19. 9 of those occurred at counters where you would expect a greeting, where you're there at the teller counter or the snack bar, whatever. Number of engagements. What's an engagement? It's a question. It's what can I help you find? Or in their case, closed-ended, can I help you? That's an engagement part of the question. And 3 out of 50 people actually engage me with a question and then something beyond it about, hey, how's the weather time, kind of chit-chatted. And the number of thank yous I got from 50 employees, 1. 1. So, yeah, it was a pretty rough, if it was a horse, you'd shoot it. Some other takeaways from those 2 trips to Prairie Meadows. Prairie Meadows is a lot of fun. I'm not being facetious. Sure, it is a lot of fun. It's got bright lights. It's the big city. It's gaming. It's fun. People go there instead of going to Vegas because who wants to pay $50 for a martini and have to suffer through Celine Dion? You know, you don't have to do that. You can stay here and pay and have more fun right here closer to home. Another takeaway is the people working for Prairie Meadows are not having fun. That is an undeniable truth. And I've got some reader response I'm going to share with you later in the show from current and former employees that really backs that up. Another takeaway is that people working at Prairie Meadows risk having less fun by working themselves out of a job. And listen, you want to go where you're happy and do your thing and make your money, and that's all about you. But if you value your job, if you value your humanity, yeah, there's some level of engagement has to go on. And the truth is, all of us deserve better. Players, visitors, employees, management, everyone, all of us deserve something better. I think we do. And if you're struggling with that, coming up, I'm going to talk, give you some tips on how to get through. If you're feeling bad about your gig and feeling poopy and it's sad and management's holding you down, the man's keeping you down, I'm going to talk through that with you coming up later on in the hour. We'll get through it. I'll give you some tips, all right? But first of all, Peter Damos, who is a consultant to casinos across the country, including customer service training, he will join us coming up in this here radio program. That's next. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. It's 8:19. Good morning.
More.
Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it.
Yeah.
I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden.
Help me cultivate horse sense. And need a keen head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to give an ironclad lead from yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a balkline game, I say that any boom can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. I say first a little medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit. and listen to some big out-of-town Jasper hear him tell about the horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they sit out right on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy sitting on Dan Patch, make your blood boil, I should say.
Hi, welcome back to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. I am not Harold Hill, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Currently, we have 48 degrees. Weatherman says 76. I remember, I played Harold Hill back in the day, man. Let me tell you, it was probably one of the fatter Harold Hills that's ever, quote-unquote, graced any stage anywhere. Yes, that was many, many moons ago. How fun it was. Coming up later on in the show, talking about if you're fed up with work and you want out or you want to be able to stay but be happy, some tips on that. And you're talking to a lot of jobs, a lot of gigs, a lot of malcontent kind of guy, and there's a way out of it. There's a way to pull up out of that morass, and we'll get to that coming up. And, of course, it's gambling kind of a Saturday today, thematically. And three organizations I spoke to before writing the post that posted on Thursday. And by the way, the post that posts on Thursday, that sounds like a racing term, but it's actually the Unsecret Shopper. It's a blogging term in this case, and that's a blogging review that I write about different retail tips on how to do a better job of customer service experiences. It's at www.theunsecretshopper.com, part of my company called The Biosphere, which I also hire secret shoppers, which are part of the triangle of training that I have, which is secret shoppers, training, and diligence, as me being the kind of the concierge of customer service for my clients, which include Dolls and Westside Auto Pros and Waters Auto Land and Strauss Safe and Lock and et cetera, over the years. It's been a lot of fun working with a lot of great companies. But if you'd like to maybe be a secret shopper, like a paid gig, go to www.theunsecretshopper.com and hit me there with an email or Twitter, Facebook, actually cell phone number if you'd like. In any event, there are three organizations I checked with and asked them about customer service training for the gaming industry. American Gaming Association said, nope, we don't have anything. We don't have no customer service training or any sort of resources here. Okay. I called the Iowa Racing and Gaming Association. Nothing. Nothing there either, locally. No modules, no videos, anything. Yikes. Yeah. Talk to the Iowa Gaming Board. Nope. Nothing there. Nothing. Wow. Surprising. In an industry that is about people, in an industry that generates locally, Prairie Meadows, what, $200 million a year in revenue? Of course, a lot of that goes back in the communities and everything else, but you're talking about a lot of employees, 100,000 of employees. I don't know how many work, but it's a big number, right, at Prairie Meadows? Sure, you'd think there'd be some training. Well, one man who has dedicated his life to doing training, particularly customer service training, and has run some casinos along the way is Peter Damos. He is a consultant for the gaming industry, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. How are you, John?
Peter, I'm fantastic. And it's Johnny. Thank you. And Peter, how did you, the gaming industry, casinos, how did all of that start for you? Where did it begin?
Well, many, many, many years ago, I needed a job to get myself through school down in California. So I found a job actually working up at Lake Tahoe in Bill Harrah's casinos when Bill Harrah was still alive, and he hired me to be a casino dealer. I dealt cards and craps and what have you. And it was back and forth while I finished school, and then when I did my graduate work and what have you, I was still doing that. And then I went on to do some other things, and quite frankly, I didn't like those other jobs as much as I liked working in the casino. So I went back, made it a career, worked my way up to something called Pit Boss, and then in 1978, I was recruited to go to beautiful downtown Atlantic City. And there I helped open up Resorts International, which is the very, very, very first big casino that they opened on the East Coast. And then I went over to Caesars to help them open up. And then in 1980, I opened up my own dealer school. And for a period of about 5 or 6 years, we trained somewhere in the neighborhood of about 14,000 people how to become casino dealers and surveillance people and what have you. And then I came out with the first of one of my books called Casino Supervision, A Basic Guide, which a lot of the casino owners... I sent a few copies around to some of the local folks in town, and they call me back and said, Pete, we like your book. Can you put together a seminar for my people over here at the Claridge or the Tropicana or wherever? And I said, sure, I can do that. Now, quite frankly, I lied there a little bit. I never really taught a group of casino supervisors, but heck, I taught third grade. I figured if I could teach third grade, I could probably teach casino supervisors, and because I was one, so I kind of knew what the mentality was somewhat. And not to denigrate casino supervisors, a great group of people, and I have a lot of lifelong friends. But again, once you get on the casino floor and what have you, you tend to stop kind of absorbing a lot of the information in terms of modern theory on supervisory techniques and what have you. So I felt there was a little niche there I could fill in, and which I did. So I sold my school and I went on the seminar trail really all over the world, wherever there happened to be casinos, Malaysia and Australia and Canada and, of course, the United States and the Caribbean and what have you. So that's kind of what I've been doing. Although there have been a couple of stints, I was director of casino operations and GM down at a place called the Sands Hotel Casino in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and then Argosy Gaming, which actually has a casino up in Iowa, over in Iowa City, the Argosy Alton Bell, I think it's the Argosy Bell, I think it's called now. And I was hired to introduce a program called I Hi Goodbye, which is a customer service program. So that's kind of where I am, and sure. Now I'm kind of back on my own again, kind of, you know, half retired and still doing this kind of work. I'll be going to Singapore here in another couple of months, hopefully before Christmas, and get that wrapped up. And
Peter, let me ask you. Here's when we look at a casino, when we think just from a 10,000-foot view, we say, gosh, there's bright lights, there's cards being thrown around, there's slot machines, there's all this action. On the surface, and I know this is a straw man, you wouldn't think that there necessarily need to be, right, a lot of customer service training, because aren't just people, employees inherently friendly, and don't they just get into it? But it doesn't necessarily work that way, does it?
No, it really, truly, truly doesn't. When I went to work for Argosy, one of the first things that we decided to try to do with Argosy, and then also the next group that went over to Isla Capri, we wanted to find out if we wanted to improve our return on investment, our profit, EBITDA, if you will. We kind of wanted to see if we could meet the needs of our customers. So what we did, kind of the blinding flash of the obvious, we decided to ask our players. So we hired a survey company and interviewed several thousand people across the United States who frequent casinos. What do you really want when you go to a casino? What do you expect? What are the expectations? And of course, the direct result was how could we fill those? So what we found was the number one need that people walk into a casino, first they wanted a nice, clean environment. They wanted to be clean and tidy. I think most casinos can do that. Next thing they wanted a safe environment. They wanted to be able to walk back and forth from their cars through the parking lot and not stumble in the mud or whatever. And then the next thing, they wanted a fun environment. I think just by its very nature, a casino is somewhat fun. And then the last thing they wanted a friendly atmosphere. Well, I think most businesses and most casinos, at least been in my experience, the first three, the safe and the friendly, and I think some of those things can be can kind of accomplished by a lot of people. But the last one, that friendly part, that's the hard one. How do we get every interaction that we have with a casino employee to give a player, a guest, if you will, eye contact, a friendly greeting of some sort, and some sort of departure statement? And why? Because we want to make every single person that walks into our place of business, the casino, in this situation, we want them to feel welcome, appreciated, and why? So they stay a little longer, hopefully spend a few more dollars if they're here, and then want to come back a little bit sooner. It's creating value. Everybody pretty much has the same thing. We have the same carpets, the same table games,
sure,
the same slot machines. So how can you differentiate yourself from the masses? And you have several casinos up in Iowa. And when they get out in their car and say, let's go to the casino, how do they make that decision? Is just whoever's closest by, or will they drive a little farther, or if they're equal, which one do they pick and why? So that's what we tried to do. So we really kind of got after this friendly part. And trying to train our people to make sure that when somebody walks up to a table game, somebody looks at them and says, hi, welcome to the game. And then when they get their chips, hey, good luck, or have a great time.
Right.
And then when they leave, hey, nice to see you again. Hey, be careful, it's a little cold outside tonight. You know, whatever.
Sure.
Make them feel a little warm and welcome, not just robot dealer number 65 or, you know, let's face it, the casinos have changed somewhat since I started. It used to be that years and years ago, the vast amount of revenue, I would say up to 75% of the revenue, came from table game. Well, it's flipped completely around now. I think probably at least 80% of the revenue comes from slot machines now, and just a small bit of the revenue comes from table games.
Peter, I don't mean to interrupt, but don't,
right,
when employees do not engage, when they do not greet, when they do not smile, when they do not thank, aren't they really making it very, very easy for the people at the top, the technocrats, the companies that gaming facilities are working with, to roboticize the process? Aren't they making it easy for companies to say, you know what, if you're not going to smile, greet, engage, and thank, we'll just eliminate your position and we'll just leave it up to the machines and people can pull the arm and they can throw their own dice. I mean, aren't they really working themselves out of a job when they don't do that?
Well, you're absolutely right. And quite frankly, it comes down to a matter of economics, does it not? I mean, a slot machine doesn't require a lot of employees to service that machine.
Right.
Whereas it used to, if you wandered through casinos 30 years ago, you would see nothing but pits with full of dealers and full of table games and what have you. And now it's these places are somewhat glorified slot parlors. Not to say that that's not a good way to go, because economically it makes a lot of sense. But we've even done away with change people now, because we have ticket in, ticket out. Now, we don't even have the people walking around making change for people. We don't have coins coming out the bottom. It's a matter of tickets. So we've even distanced ourselves even farther from our basic customers, our guests. So yeah, you're absolutely right. And to me, it's kind of a shame, because I think if you look at the overall society and the acceptance of casinos, or the allowability, if you will, one thing that casinos do, they supply a lot of money in taxes and they supply jobs. Well, we seem to be, paring down the number of jobs, and just like you said, going through automation more and more and more. So the remaining employees that we do have, gosh, they ought to be a little bit warmer, a little bit friendlier. And the people at the top, they want that. They're very smart people. They understand that. The problem is, how do you get, 500, 800, 1,000 employees each and every interaction to, like you say, hi, goodbye. So that's wherein lies the challenge.
My guest this morning is Peter Damos. He is the president of Damos & Associates here on 1350 KRNT. Well, Peter, I would think to some extent this begins, because after they're in the facility, it's kind of too late. So I would think the hiring process is where the key questions need to be asked and the filtering has to occur. Are you involved in that as well?
No, I don't get involved in any of the HR requirements. I'm an outside guy that comes in, and I would hope that they would screen enough applicants to find out people who are warm and friendly, and they do have tests. I can remember one time working way out in Las Vegas at a big new casino that was being built in the mid-90s, and there's something in the neighborhood of about 4,000 jobs available, and they had somewhere in the neighborhood of 50,000 people apply for those jobs.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, can you imagine backing up the truck and say, here's 50,000 applications for HR to go through. So how do you pare down those? How do you get the best 4,000? Well, you go over all the applications, and I was hired to help out do that. And you get through a lot of some of the applications that, for whatever reason, didn't qualify. And then you still have 40,000 people left. So we decided that when they come in the door, at least the four requirements were, give me a little eye contact, a friendly greeting, put their hand out for a handshake,
right,
and introduce themselves.
Right.
Except for the women, we didn't require the handshake, because our industrial psychologist said that probably wasn't necessary due to the cultural situation.
Sure.
Johnny, how many people do you think, out of 40,000 people, fail the test to walk in, give you eye contact, a friendly greeting of some sort? How many do you think fail that test?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm sure it was over half.
Yeah, it was over half. That was astonishing to me, that somebody comes in for a job interview and can't even give me eye contact, a friendly greeting, introduce themselves with a handshake. I mean, that was just astounding to me. So, again, I think the casinos probably do a fair to middling job. But, these jobs are somewhat repetitive. They go on and on and on. It's shift work. You're working strange hours. And after a while, unless there is a real cultural kind of emphasis on service and making that guy, treating him like a piece of gold when they walk into the casino, sometimes that gets lost in the transaction. And how do you go about doing that? I developed a plan several years ago that basically rewards people. And if we have mystery shoppers come in and you get scores for giving the eye contact, a friendly greeting, and some sort of departure statement, if you do all three, you get 100%. If you miss even one, you get zero. And when a casino first starts that, you'll find that maybe a high score would be about 60% of all interactions are accompanied by those particular welcoming behaviors. And if they improve just a little bit, 1% or 2% every quarter, they get a bonus. So
right.
I have another book. It's called thought leaves my mind here for a moment.
You've read a lot of them, Peter. That's all good. It's all good.
So what? Who cares? And what's in it for me? And if you can't answer those questions from an employee who basically says, well, so what? Who cares? And what's in it for me? If you can't answer those questions, chances are you're not going to motivate that employee to do that. So you have to give them some sort of a carrot. And right. A little bonus would be nice, recognition, those kinds of things, which I'm sure you're well aware of.
Oh, ownership. They have to own. It has to mean something to them, or else they're just robots. They're just going through. Peter, have you seen, and this isn't just with gaming facilities. Of course, it's in retail in general, but I know you do training outside the realm of gaming. But isn't it, have you seen a change in the generations? Again, this is kind of a straw man. I think I know the answer. But 20 years ago, 30 years ago, were employees just, were people just naturally friendly? Or is it tougher to train people who are younger today?
I think perhaps we were a younger group then, and there was a more emphasis on treating those people a little bit nicer, perhaps. But although I don't know. I think with many, 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 many more casinos now. I mean, every state has casinos, I think, except for Hawaii and Utah. When you think about that, there's an enormous amount of competition. So I think a lot of the casino owners and managers have realized that you got to be nice to those folks because there's choices. There's lots of competition. And not just competition from other casinos, but we have competition from the malls and gifts and traveling and cruises. And everybody takes that little bit of discretionary income that they have. And if they spend it in a casino and they don't get a value for it, they don't even walk out the door with anything in their hand. I mean, you blow $100 at a casino and you walk out to your car, what do you got in your hand, Johnny? You haven't got a whole lot.
No.
So at least if you go to the mall and spend $100, you have something to show for your expenditure. So, these people are very bright who run casinos. They truly are. And they realize that. The problem is I'm not sure that sometimes they really, all the way down from the top to the bottom, do they really want to make the commitment to what it takes to constantly make these people aware of their responsibilities in customer service.
What's the last question? What's the one takeaway you'd say when you do training, and you talked about the sort of the ranking and what it means from casinos, the most important, and the surveys that have done, and how important customer service is. But if there is one thing that you teach employees that seems to have the most power, that is the most important, what as far as the impact they have on customers, what is that thing, Peter?
Well, to me, I think that might wrap up in one big word called appreciation. I appreciate you coming in here and playing at our casino. And by doing that, you treat them like a guest in your home. I mean, you give them the eye candy. You make them feel appreciated and welcome. And so why? So they come back, so we all keep our jobs. I mean, I tell these kids all the time, how would you like to be in the car business right now? How'd you like to be selling real estate? How'd you like to be doing some of these other jobs? I mean, yeah, we're impacted somewhat. But for the most part, most of our casinos are still doing pretty well.
Right.
And, they might drop off 10%, but it's not like 60 to 70%. I mean, I wouldn't want to be selling Chevys right now.
Sure, that's right. That's right. Well, Peter, give us a website, Peter. People are interested, if they're interested in hiring your services, if they're interested in working with you, they just want to know more about what you do and how you do it. Tell them how to find that out.
Well, sure. They can go online at Demas Associates, just demasassociates.com. Or they can always reach me at my cell phone, 314-378-1241. And I've worked in over 100 casinos, I think it's more like 125 now, around the world. And I'll be speaking at the world's largest gaming show here coming up, G2E in Las Vegas, in the middle of November. So anybody that goes out there, if any casino people are listening, hey, come by and say hi.
Well, one of the premier consultants in the gaming casino industry, it is Peter Demas, and it is such a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. Peter, thank you so much for your time.
You bet, Johnny. Thank you for talking.
That's Peter Demas. Great guy. Very smart, very bright man, been involved with the gaming industry, and also doing some training outside of it. Brought up some really interesting points, which are going to dovetail into sort of the next deal here I'm going to chat about, and that is empathy, which we talk about in training all the time. Empathy is one of the most important things you can have to be able to serve other people, but how do you have empathy when you don't feel terribly empathetic, when you've got your own pain and own stuff going on? And just some stuff, some things we'll want to tell you about. I think maybe some nice tips if you're sort of struggling with that at your workplace about just how do you be happy when you don't feel like being happy. That coming up, plus some reader feedback to the Prairie Meadows Secret Shopper review. All that and more here as the Unsecret Shopper radio show rolls on. It is 8:40. Thank you for tuning in to it on 1350 KRNT. 8:43 now, the Unsecret Shopper radio show, 1350 KRNT. And winners have been off. We got football. We got nice weather. We got, I think every state team is like on the road. They've completely abandoned the state. I think there's just more room now to kind of spread out now. You've got Iowa State is at Oklahoma tonight, 6 o'clock kickoff. Cyclones trying to recover from, that last thing. Iowa's at Michigan. Big game, 2:30 kickoff up there at the old that thing that where they play them games up there. UNI is at South Dakota tonight at 4 p.m. late afternoon. And then Drake at Campbell, which is in North Carolina. Yeah, it's a nooner. So a lot of teams are on the road. We'll root on our favorite teams as you root on yours. And you know, one of the things that's tough, I think, very difficult sometimes as employees, and we all work. We work for a living. We're working stiffs and stiffettes. That's what we do. One of the things that's tough sometimes is morale. It's sometimes hard to keep it going, to be happy just in general. And sometimes it's tough to be happy whether we're at work or not. Now, some people are naturally happy. Some people, you could take them and you could put them in a big pot of boiling oil. You could just stick them in there and they just laugh and say, listen, have you got fries you can throw in here? Yeah, I mean, there's some people who are just naturally happy. And for those of us who really aren't, and I would certainly sometimes say I'm naturally happy, we sort of look at those people like, you know, you're a freak is what we think. But no, we're all in this different ebb and flow of our emotions. But how do we stay happy when we don't feel like being happy? Particularly at work, where we spend up to a third of our lives working and toiling and slaving away and doing this and that and, yeah, earning our keep. Sure, and it's like those people who win the Powerball who say, yeah, I'm going to keep working, and we say, you are full of Drano, which you've been drinking since early this morning. Yeah, you win the Powerball, you're out of here. Although, interesting statistic, 2/3 all Powerball players go bankrupt in 5 years. Statistical truth, unbelievable. Money, nah, doesn't make you happy. What makes you happy? Being happy. But I analogize it like this, and I talk about it in training. If your foot is on fire, you don't really care about other people's feet. Yeah, you just want to put out your own foot. So our own pain, our own misery, our own thing we're working through, when we've got that, and that's front and center on our hearts, how do we take that, all those troubles that threaten our joy and everything else, how do we take that with us into a workplace environment and try to be happy and smile and greet and engage and thank and all the great pillars of great customer service that I teach trainees and hundreds of them every week? And we're faced with this. The reality is, yeah, we don't always feel very happy. Well, I want to try to give you some things, some tips, little antidotes, and just some things that might help you work through some of that if you're struggling with it. And it may help not only in the workplace, but outside of it. I'm not a psychologist, although I was raised by three women, so frankly, I'm about a semester away from a degree. But these are just some things. Some questions. Your hours stink. Management blows. Management, the man is keeping me down. Management in this place stinks. This place stinks. And I'm in it and I stink. And everything stinks. So how do you pull yourself out of that place, that abyss that you may be in? Here's some questions I want you to ask yourself if you're in that place. Do you want to be miserable for a third of the rest of your life? Now, we would call these straw man questions. Yeah, typically you're going to kind of see the answers here. Well, but ask yourself, do you want that? Do you want to be in that place for the rest of your life, a third of it? Are you unhappy about work or unhappy in general? Now, there's a difference in those things, too, because I equate it like this. It's like taking a paint roller. Like if we're in a bad place, it's like taking a paint roller and dipping it in our emotional paint and coating everyone with it who's around us, sure, particularly the people that are closest to us. So is work creating your unhappiness, or are you unhappy and work is expediting it, making it worse, because it's, you know, it's tough when you're unhappy and you have to work. What have you done to change the work environment that you're in? This is a big one. Yeah, managers holding me down. I got their schedule me for hours. I don't like it. My pay's been cut. Or I have to do this thing that I don't want to do, or I haven't been trained to do this thing I'm expected to do. All of those things that happen at work, what have you done? What have you stepped forward and said, you know what? No, I don't have to accept this. I can ask for more. I can ask for more training or better engagement or a better work environment. You have the right to it. You have the right to it. You absolutely do. And this dovetails into the next question. Do you triangulate or problem solve? Triangulation is what? Somebody's keeping me down. I'm going to complain to somebody else. I'm going to dump my misery on somebody else, all these issues I have on someone else. Not the person who's creating it, but someone else who has nothing to do with it, who I know will be a sympathetic ear. I mean, we don't triangulate with people who'll say, that's the dumbest thing I've heard. Would you pull your you-know-what out of your you-know-what? No, we go to people who'll say, oh, yeah, man, I feel you. Yeah, they're wrong. The man is holding you down. He's keeping you down, man. I'm right there with you, brother. Sure, because those people, even if they think we're full of it, they want to be our friends. And sure, and so they'll just play along to get along. But yeah, so are you trying to resolve it with the person who's creating that thing with you, or are you going around it because that doesn't solve it? In fact, it makes it worse. And triangulation has a perpetrator, a victim, and a savior. Those roles, and they rotate all the time. And we especially with spouses, where a husband or a wife will hurt the other one, and the other one will call someone else. And then that person finds out that they called someone else. And suddenly everybody's angry and switching roles. So triangulation, very bad. Do you have an exit strategy out of work? I mean, you've talked about it. You know, one of these days I should just get out of here and go apply somewhere else. I'll show them. Or have you done it? Go do it. You know, I mean, talking about it's one thing. Doing something about it is doing something, which is not like talking. So create an exit strategy. Make sure you have a golden parachute, or at least one that's not like made with an anvil, like a Wile E. Coyote episode. You know, that's the wrong. Listen, you jump out of a plane with an anvil for your parachute. We've seen the results. They're not pleasant. So, yeah, have your exit strategy. Are you doing what you want to do? Because if you're not, that's a third of your life doing something you don't want to do. Why do what you don't want to do? You weren't born for that. You didn't come out of the poop chute saying, all right, now it's time to be miserable in about 18 years, perhaps less. Oh, there's no need for that. Are you doing what you were meant to do? Is that driving you? Because I think the difference between what we do and what we think we should be doing is the difference between our joy and our misery. And when those two are exactly the same, yeah, that's the happy place. Have you talked about doing something but never done anything to do it? Then do it. Don't talk about it. Do it. Don't tell everybody you're going to lose weight. Go lose weight, then come back and show us you lost weight. How bad will it get before you do? How bad does your foot have to hurt on fire before you put a blanket over it and put it out and try to, like, I don't know, put some butter on it, something. Buy a new foot. Do something else. You're not destined for a life of misery. It's necessary. And by living inside that prison, you're also spreading it. Other people sense it. You're keeping yourself down, and they're coming down with you, and there's no need for it. I bring this up because I'm going to read to you some responses coming up from some Prairie Meadows employees, former and current, who are suggesting that the workplace environment, yes, not the greatest. Now, how do you get out of it? How do you change it? What do you do? You bring in some high-priced consultant, and I have a few ideas for that. Or do you work it from the inside out? Yeah, there's some ways to do that. Well, I'm going to read some reader responses to the Prairie Meadows Secret Shop Review coming up as the Unsecret Shopper radio show rolls on. It is 8:52 at 1350 KRNT. Good morning. It is 8:54 now, the Unsecret Shopper radio show, 1350 KRNT. We've got 52 degrees now. Weather person says 76 for sunshine. Nice weekend all the way through, and then Monday maybe a chance of rain. All right, well, some of you are saying Prairie Meadows is kind of there's a certain evil sense to it. Yes, that there's maybe an exorcism, an emotional exorcism might be required. I want to read some reader feedback to the Unsecret Shopper, Secret Shopper review of Prairie Meadows that is in Thursday's blog. Go to www.theunsecretshopper.com to read it. And I'm going to keep these people anonymous. Number 43 writes, not that I'm arguing with you, but if you worked at a place that sucked out your will to live, you'd have a hard time smiling too. Someone else writes, hey Johnny, well written, great observation of Prairie Meadows. This is from number 61, by the way. My guess is the reason is your guest interaction and maybe many others was so poor as a direct reflection of a poor upper management. How can an employee treat a guest like number one when they are being treated like number two? Upper management, with HR's blessing, runs their employees with the fear that you can lose your job any day, and many employees are fearful for their jobs and stressed out. I was recently fired for a poor reason. I was a food and beverage supervisor at Prairie Meadows for almost 12 years. Prairie Meadows was a great place to work, and most all employees did enjoy their jobs. However, a time has come and gone. All upper management tells their employees is work harder, we're losing money, I feel bad for many of the staff at Prairie Meadows in the food beverage department. It's all about making money and not caring about guest service. Your comments, observations are right on. You're 100% correct in all you senior article was very well written. Two thumbs up. Great job. Number 20 writes, Johnny, your portrayal of Prairie Meadows is spot on. I've worked at Prairie Meadows for almost 15 years and I've seen exactly deterioration of customer service that you described. Please do not fault just the employees. The management at PM is oppressive and unyielding. They do not listen to employee concerns and instead hold grudges against anyone who voices a problem. You want to be happy at work, but it's difficult day in and day out. And you have management mismanaging the facility. Yes, I want to be happy, but how can I be when everyone working around me is so miserable? Quick story. First of all, I feel your pain. Big time. Big time. We have all been there. Some of us are there. I worked at a radio station here in Des Moines back in 1999. I started at the Jock radio station, 107.1, 96.1, which is now a Christian radio station here in Des Moines. Owned by a gentleman who didn't live in the area, lived out in the Northeast. A number of personalities worked at that radio station. It launched really the sports radio phenomenon in this town, and it no longer exists. It went bankrupt. The owner and the employees and the company was not well run. It was not well managed, although we had a blast at times working there, and I worked there for 4 years of that station's existence. But it got so bad at the end that the owner wrote a suicide note and placed it on a table inside the facility and then went outside and I guess thought about ending it out there. When it gets bad, it can get really bad. It tumbles down, and we tend to think that that is all that it can be and all it's ever been. All we see is the pain in front of us, our foot on fire. And all I can say to you is, have more courage than I did. I stayed on. I stayed on through all of it. I wanted to collect a paycheck. I was afraid to go out into the world, and I saw it come. It was crumbling down around me, and inside I was crumbling. But the truth is, I had my own personal issues, my own demons. It had nothing to do with the facility. It's just that in many ways, working there had sort of ignited them. And I know much of the show may have seemed sort of down and sort of dour, but the truth is that the greatest joy and happiness, the great truth is that we were born to be happy. I mean, we come out, we're born, we're screaming, and for the adults looking at that baby, that screaming kid, the kid looks miserable. But my belief is that we're thrilled. We're happy. We got out of this womb thing, which was nice, protected us, but, you know, there's a lot of water and stuff in there. It's been 9 months. It kind of smells. I'm ready to get out and breathe some fresh air. And here I am, world. Yeah, that feels good. We were born to be happy. We were born to live happy. We have a right to be happy. It's in the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, Bible, name your document. Happy's in there a million, million times, a pursuit of happiness. It's not guaranteed to us. We have to go pursue it. So don't do what I did. Don't chase your tail around. Don't sit there and take it. Don't think that you're stuck. You're not a prisoner. You're a prisoner to your own idea in your head. You're not a victim, except you're a victim to yourself for not acting. If you're going to stay put, then make a commitment to be happy. Get resources that can help you find your way out of that place you're in. Don't spread your unhappiness like cancer. Don't triangulate. If you have a problem with another coworker, someone in management, step up. Step up to them. Run the risk. Step out on the limb. Yeah. Who knows what can happen? But if we knew what would happen, it would be boring in this life. You deserve it. You deserve to be happy. Be happy today, this weekend, at work and away from it.